WAIF, Chris and Rob, boy, howdy. Jim Dandy, you are in for a heck of a good show tonight. WAIF.
Now, you know, ever since I think it's been about 40 years now, 1973 or 1974, there has been a plague infecting America. America has been going down the toilet ever since the early 70s, and it shows no sign of reversing its course. I think that the situation is getting worse and worse. Do you have anything to say about the situation, Rob?
If you're talking about the situation I think you're talking about, then I agree with you 100%. It started off as an experiment. It's still going strong today in 2006. It's like an experiment, like a Dr. Frankenstein experiment. It's ravaging the countryside and scaring all the villagers. And we need to chase it down with pitchforks, and we need to get some torches lit. We need to get Terry Garr rolling around in a bale of hay.
Yeah, we're not talking about smallpox here. We're not talking about smallpox, and we're not talking about the conservative right. We're talking about the designated hitter. And here to talk about the designated hitter is our good friend Bill Lee, the spaceman.
Righty.
How you doing, Bill?
Well, no one hates the DH more than me.
Good. Although I hate it pretty much. We could be having a contest here.
Well, it was created to try and lessen the rosters of the American League so they could save money. It was actually created by Charlie Finley and Bowie Kuhn. American League wasn't to compete and score more runs. It was right after they did it, they shortened the roster to 24 players. And down to 23 on some, and then we filed a grievance against them, and they reinstated it back up to 25. So that was what they wanted to do.
So you're saying that all this yingity-yang, pangity-pang, poon-poon about the daggone designated hitter being put in there because no one wants to watch pitchers hit, it's about getting more offense in the game. You say that's revisionist history.
That's revisionist. You ask Marvin Miller, and you can call him up right now in New York, and he'll tell you the exact same thing I'm telling you. They were trying to save money, and that was the way they were doing it. The American League was suffering. They had old ballparks. They weren't drawing a lot. And they came up with this idea to putting guys like Orlando Cepeda that had a walker back then, you know, and it was all about that. And funny thing is, Catfish Hunter stayed in more ball games. If you look at it, the starting pitchers pitched more innings, they pitched longer, they had more complete games in the American League, and it really didn't do a whole lot for offense.
Yeah, it probably skewers the statistics at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, the pitchers threw a lot more innings, and you can look it up.
And it changes the strategy of the manager. If he wants to put in a pinch hitter now, he doesn't have to start thinking about, you know, when's the pitcher come up to bat, how many batters later is it, does he put a pinch hitter in or not? It's crazy.
Yeah, you don't have to manage. The National League is a better run league because the manager has to pay attention. He has to hit for the number 8 hitter. He has to hit for the number 9 hitter. You get a lot more people there, a lot more camaraderie on your team. American League is just not good. I mean, they've got some good hitters over there now, and they got a lot of money. They're spending more money in the National League and bringing over a lot of more high-quality hitters, and it has to do with economics. It has nothing to do with statistics, and it's too bad. And if you go back, and that's exactly what why it was done. It was Charlie Finley trying to save money, you know, and he was just broke. He spent a lot of money, and when he started leaving, he sold all his players. Basically, when he dismantled that ball club after the 75 season.
You know what I always say to people who tell me they don't want to see a pitcher hit? I always say, load the bases and bring in Kent Tekulve. Because that guy was nuts, and he hit more home runs than most regular everyday players.
Well, I'll tell you, there were a lot of bad hitters out there. Dean Chance, Bob Buell, there were a lot of them that couldn't, but then there were a lot of great ones. Warren Spahn could hit. You had tons of ball players. Gary Peters was a good hitter. Ken Brett was a great hitter. There were tons of guys when I played that could flat out play. And but your best athletes were your pitchers back in the old days. Now you get bad pitching, I think, because of the designated hitter brings in specialization, and kids grow up. They don't want to be pitchers anymore because they don't get to swing the bat. So you get a lower class athlete, I think, as your pitcher.
Well, right. We got three great examples. Right here in Cincinnati, a pitcher who was an embarrassment at the plate was Jack Billingham from the 70s. A pitcher who was good at the plate was Don Gullett. And a guy that the Reds recently shipped to the Boston Red Sox is a natural-born DH, and that's Willie Mopeña.
Yeah. Well,
by natural born DH, you mean he can't catch a ball with a glove the size of an umbrella.
Butterfly net.
That's exactly right. You've got Ortiz, you've got Pena, you've got a bunch of guys over on the Red Sox, and trouble is they didn't issue them gloves, so we're having a hard time fielding. You got Euclid at first base. He hasn't got a hit yet this year, but I like him. I think he'll be all right. He's a good athlete.
Well, when are we going to start getting some prospects? They can't hit real well. They can't pitch real well, but we can put them in as designated fielders.
Well, no, that you'll never see that in any league and stuff. It's the object of this game is to score runs, play defense, and it used to be you had guys that were five-tool ball players, at least four-tool ball players. Now it's getting specialized, and you're getting them down there where they can only do two things well, and I think the quality of the game's gone downhill. Your defense isn't as good. Their arms are terrible. This Coco Crisp got a terrible arm. Damon's got a terrible arm. You get a lot of outfielders that can't hit cutoff men. The game is not as good as it was back in the old days. I think the older ball players were better all around.
And we have a new generation of fans, too, who don't remember fair rules in both leagues.
Nope, they don't. And you got them. You want the new ballpark. You got to have all the great restaurants. You got to have this. You got to have the mascots. You're getting a whole generation of people that are into the specialization. They're all on their cell phones. They're all doing this. They all want to be seen. They all do the wave at the wrong time. And
hey, there should be a rule. If you can't smoke in these outdoor ballparks anymore, that's fine. You shouldn't be able to bring your cell phone in either.
No, that's true. I agree. I think it's a detriment to our society, driving in every other way. And I'm watching the ball game, and there's Jesse Barfield in the stands watching his son playing. He's all wired up with that Bluetooth stuff, and I'm going, who does he think he is? Who's important that's going to be calling him while his son's up there? You know, I'm not going to accept calls if I'm watching my boy playing ball. And we all think we got to be wired for everything, and we got a lot of sad things in our society, and I think it's always the tampering with baseball back in 73 with, you know, Charlie Finley. I think he was the worst of the worst. And Bowie Kuhn went behind him, and the American League owners went behind them. And
worse than Bud Selig?
Oh, Bud Selig is right up there. But, you know, Bud's trying. He's a used car salesman from Milwaukee, and to try and say that he's not on in the owner's pocket is a bunch of baloney, because everybody knows he is. So
we're talking to Bill Lee, famous major league pitcher, was in the 1975 World Series, also known as the Spaceman. We're listening to WAIF, and if you want to call in, you can say hello at 513-961-8900.
Bill Lee had three straight 17-win seasons, 73, 74, 75. How much do you think you'd make a year now if you put together three 17-win seasons in a row, and my guess is you probably pitched close to 200, if not more than 200 innings every one of those years.
Oh, about 260.
Yeesh.
So that's a lot of innings. That's because of the designated hitter, and that's probably what tore me down. And then the brawl in 76 with the Yankees really was the coup de grace that hurt my arm. But, yeah, I would have made a lot of money, and I was before I was player rep, and I was responsible for a lot of big contracts for other people, but I didn't believe in participating in it. I didn't believe in free agency. I believed in loyalty to one ball club, staying in one town. You know, I was heartbroken when I left the Red Sox and went to Montreal, and I liked it up there. I won 16 games my first year in the National League, and I ended up hitting .348 my last year, and I love the National League, and I love Montreal.
Let me ask you some more about this designated hitter, because we're getting off on this tonight, and this designated hitter thing's been pissing me off for a couple of decades now. How did the designated hitter affect your career, Bill Lee? Because when you were at the prime of your career is about the time it started. How did it affect you both as a hitting pitcher and as far as how your numbers followed after it was instated?
I think it wore me down a little more, kept me in ball games I should have been out of when I was behind, and when they would have taking me out for a right-handed pitch hitter. I believe the game's been tampered with. I think, you know, maybe I would have won 18, 19, or 20 ball games because I would have got a couple of base hits that won ball games for me. I was a good hitting pitcher. You know, I only hit, I think, .216 lifetime, but I didn't get to hit that much in my last years in the National League. I hit .348, so I had a great, I had a great last year anyway in the big leagues, and I continue to play. I continue to hit. But you know, it's the fact that it just it's ruining young kids. It's the aluminum bat, the designated hitter. It's really, I think it's hurt them in the long run. It doesn't get you a good athlete, and I would love to see it change sometime in my lifetime.
Well, Pete Rose is the one that introduced that to aluminum bat, wasn't he? Or wasn't he one of the first ones?
Yeah, I mean, we all used them. It was created, I think, to save wood bats because we weren't getting good wood anymore, and they were, with expansion, there were more people using them, and now colleges don't use, they use aluminum. There have been a lot of kids killed out there, and the DeMarini and everything has really hurt in softball. There's been a lot of deaths because of that ball coming off those triple wall bats, and I think that's another thing. You know, tampering with the bat, the tampering with the DH. A lot of those problems really upset me a lot.
If is there anything that fans can do today that we can do proactively? To bring an end to the whole designated hitter thing? Is there anything we can do? Writing a letter to the commissioner ain't going to do nothing because he don't care. But is there anything we can do as fans and as people who attend ball games and watch them on TV?
Well, I think you got to do it at the lower levels. You got to get it out of Little League. You got to get it at a smaller level. Get people to start writing some papers showing that it's really been a detriment to pitching and a detriment. You got to find some statistical analysis like guys like Bill James come out there and show that it really is hurting our youth, that it's hurting just camaraderie and stuff, and that the DH is a form of specialization. I read a guy named Buckminster Fuller, a Southern Illinois guy who invented the geodesic dome, and he said all forms of specialization eventually breed extinction. And you look at all of our societies that have faded and a lot of the animal species that have not been succeeded, and it's all been because of that specialization. So I don't know. I would have to write some more about it. Other people, mathematicians, philosophers, and just the parent of a child that, you know, you want him to swing the bat and learn to bunt, hit, run, and play the game it used to be. If the designated hitter left, maybe we'd have less global warming. Maybe we'd have a better society. Maybe we wouldn't have war in Iraq. You know, maybe all these things are related. You never know. But
you're saying we need to bring in the big guns, people like Carl Sagan and stuff.
Yeah, you got to bring in. He's dead, and you got to bring in a lot of guys that are dead. But
what's the name of that guy in the wheelchair, the scientist? You know.
Oh, that would be
Stephen Hawking.
Hawkins is the he's the great one with. He actually's got Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's still alive.
I know. He's a trooper. Yeah, he should be an inspiration to kids these days.
He is an inspiration to me, you know, so I'm just hopefully that we've got to, you know, come to our senses and start bunting and hit and run. But you got Billy Ball out there, and you got all these guys that, you know, look at the Oakland, how they got hammered yesterday. And but they got beat by a team that spends a lot of money, I'll tell you that. Those Yankees are freaking deadly this year. And you know,
but they don't have any pitching.
Well, they don't need it. You score 17 runs a game, you can get by with a lot of really holes in your pitching staff.
We're talking to Bill Lee on the Chris and Rob Show, WAIF. 119-90 over, what, 14 years in the big leagues?
Yep,
that's
14
not bad
years.
At all. Crafty left-hander, was a hard-throwing left-hander. Then Craig Nettles threw you down on your pitching shoulder. Then you became a crafty left-hander. Is that about right?
Yeah, I was pretty crafty before, but then I really had to be crafty and use my guile, and you know, it's nice when you have a fastball, but I'll tell you, I'd sure like to have one more chance being out there and being healthy and have one more go at it. But baseball's the greatest game. We won the state championship here in Vermont, Wood Bat League, and you got to be over 40 to play, and you got to be over 45 to pitch. And you know, our pitching staff, I think there's three of us, and we're about 150 years old.
One other bad thing to just keep hammering on the DH is when you go see a minor league game and, you know, the players aren't super familiar to you because it's the minor leagues, you don't know when the stinking lineup changes over. Unless you're keeping score, you lose track of where you are in the batting order and you don't know when the lineup flips over.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, you get down the end, you got the pitcher, you usually get a bunt situation or you got a pitch hit situation. The manager's actually doing something, and it's not good. So there's a lot of reasons. You know, you're in Cincinnati. You're where they used to play the first ball game of the year was there, and then they took it away from you, and they played some night game up in Chicago, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights up there. So But I like tradition, and it's too bad.
Well, speaking of Chicago, were you happy to see that the White Sox, even though they were an American League team, but they seemed to play a National League type of baseball, doing it with defense and pitching? Were you happy to see them win the World Series when the year before it was your old team who did nothing but knock the crap out of the ball and win the World Series?
Yeah, well, it was great to see us beat the Yankees those four games. I don't even remember the games against St. Louis. I can't believe St. Louis didn't play hard, or just they were just done for or something. But, yeah, I liked Ozzie Guillen. I liked his emotion. I liked the way he managed. I liked the way their ball club was a bunch of misfits that no one wanted, and the fact that they came back and played. I mean, there was Carl Everett. No one wanted him. No one wanted their catcher. No one wanted anybody on that ball club. But I'll tell you something, they played well for Ozzie Guillen, and they're going to play well this year too.
One thing that the current commissioner, Bud Selig, keeps patting himself on the back about is the banning of amphetamines or greenies from the clubhouse of Major League Baseball. Tell us a little bit about the importance of amphetamines or greenies in baseball during the late 1960s through the 1980s.
Oh, heck, everybody, it's a tough game. You're playing 162 games, you're dead tired, sponsored by beer companies, you're out there partying hard, you're dancing. You know, amphetamines allows you to at least, if you don't get enough sleep, you can come to the ballpark and kind of cheat a little bit and get back out there. And, it's anything you abuse, whether it be nicotine, caffeine, or alcohol, it's going to kill you. And, guys are taking espressos, triple espressos down in Venezuela. Everything was you're trying to get out there and play hard. It's pharmaceuticals. Amphetamines, they will. I mean, Yastrzemski took one every game, and he was a mess by the end of the season. But you got all winter to dry out and try and come back. And he had a pretty long career and played pretty hard for a long time. And Willie Mays did red juice, and everybody back in the old days, did a little something to try and get out there and to compete and play hard. I don't think we did it because, we're trying to do anything else other than it's tough to play 162 games and travel to all these towns and get very little rest. And I'm not making excuses for it, but it's out there. Nowadays, you got guys that are all juiced up out of their brains trying to hit home runs. I don't think it's helping them that much. I just think DH and pitching so bad that you got a lot more home run hitters because you got dumb pitching.
Is the pitching bad because there's not enough pitchers to go around with all the extra teams, with all these new expansion teams coming along in the last few years?
You just don't develop good pitching. Ever since the drop and drive, you got these guys that are upright. You got people teaching pitching that don't know anything about pitching. You just don't get the good guys with the full windup and the nice takeaway and the Nolan Ryans. I saw two games today and yesterday, and the pitchers that did well had really good mechanics, and they drop and drive, and they threw over 90. And, good pitching, big guys are going to survive and do well. And you just don't get as good an athlete as your pitcher, and I've seen it. These guys are out there. They nibble a lot. They're always pitching behind. They don't have good fastballs. And hitters are smart. I mean, heck, they work at their trade all the time, and they don't make mistakes. Those good hitters can flat out hit.
Yeah. And here's another thing. We're talking to Bill Lee, WAIF, the Chris and Rob Show. What do you think about this thing? The commissioner came out the other day, Bud Selig, and he says there's going to be an investigation about steroid use. Do you think this is too little, too late? Do you think this will impact the game in any kind of way, positive or negative? And do you think it'll impact Barry Bonds' career and his ability to break some records coming up?
Well, he probably did, but the law is, that he didn't get tested positive in all those times. I don't think you can take anything away from him. I think he's pretty clean now. I think he'll be impeccable all through the end of his career. He'll probably stay healthy, get out there and beat all these records. Records are made to be broken. The guys that get here are the McGuires and the guys that basically lied under oath and did everything. Bonds was never put before the grand jury because they were already in an investigation about Balco. So, You know, I like Bonds. I don't like him as a person, but I like him as a ball player, and I think he's handling it pretty well. You know, and it's a witch hunt. It's too late, and you got Bunning in there, you got Seelig in there, you got Mitchell in there. You know, and they're just trying to, you know, the thing about it, it's all about pharmaceutical companies. They don't have control of Balco. They didn't have control of it. You look at a chicken, a Purdue chicken that's being grown on some farm in North Carolina. That thing glows in the dark. All of our kids are bigger. You look at the girls in the basketball I'm watching right now. They're all bigger. You're looking at babies on planes. They're all bigger. Everybody's getting bigger because our food supply. I don't think we're getting any healthier, but we sure are getting bigger.
Well, there was an article in the paper today about these companies that make baby seats for the back seat of your car, and they're starting to make them wider.
I tell you, there's some big-ass babies out there.
There sure are. We're talking to Bill Lee, the spaceman on WAIF, if you'd like to call in, 513-961-8900.
Do you see steroids as tarnishing the game? They talk about that in the late 90s, that they let the steroids come in and they to get the popularity of baseball back to where it should be after the strike, and now all those records are tarnished. Do you think there's a stigma to that era of baseball?
Well, I don't think they brought them in for that reason. I think that the food additives and supplements, and they're always out there. Everybody wants to do better and hit. You know, Ponce de Leon came here looking for the fountain of youth. We're all trying to look better. You look at weight clinics, ab machines, you know, everything. We're all trying to live longer and live stronger and live better. So I don't know. I just have to say it's just a phase we're going through, and it's getting a lot of attention right now, and it's probably because they're not being controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. I don't know if what Balco was doing, if a guy could take a strand of my hair and find a deficiency in my system that he can put 10 years of life on me, the quality of my life's better, my knees are going to feel better, my hips are going to feel better, I'm going to play better, you know, we'd all be lining up for it. So as long as it's not a detriment to your health, it's not a detriment to the kids. I mean, these anabolic steroids and the stuff they're giving horses and cows and these kids in the small depressed countries like the Dominican Republic and Nicaragua and place like that, that are taking and shooting up with growth hormones. Now that's bad, but at the other level, I think school's still out as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think you take anybody at any job and you say, hey dude, take this and you can do your job better, and being able to do that job better means a difference between, you know, $500,000 a year and $5 million a year. Boy, it's gonna be awful hard to say no, I don't want to do this until it's thoroughly tested with everybody. It's awful hard to say no.
Oh, I know there's a lot of money out there, and it's specialization, and all of us, you know, they're paying way too much for a lot of things. You know, the worker out there, you got Delphi, you got GM, you got all these people that are working it for a living. They're having a hard time scuffling for a wage, and what do? They wag the dog about this and the bad about immigration. You know, the reason we got immigration is they're not paying a good wage, and they're trying to stiff the working man in America. So I'm upset on a lot of different levels, and, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad that the stock market goes up and we're getting depressed and the rich get richer. So, you know, I'm willing. I see a lady on the street ask me for $5 for a sandwich, and I gave it to her. She may have gone and bought Mogan David 2020 with it, but at least I think I gave her the money for a sandwich.
Talking to Bill Lee on Chris and Rob, WAIF. And, Bill, if the Red Sox or the Cincinnati Reds or any team besides the New York Yankees called you tomorrow and said, we want you to be our pitching coach or we want you to be our double-A manager, would you take the job?
Well, no, I'm having fun doing what I'm doing. I like playing. I like writing books. I like doing radio shows like this. And, you know, my job is to be a critic and get out there. I'm getting my fill playing baseball. I play in Arizona. I play in Florida in the winter. I play in wood bat leagues. I played in Cuba. So, you know, if they need me for a coaching job, I'll go in and be a special. I'll help people out in a pinch, but I kind of like what I'm doing right now.
You know, I forgot about you being an author. The last book I remember that you wrote was the Big Little Red Sox book.
Yeah, I wrote a new one. That's called Have Glove, Will Travel.
Really? Is it, when did it come out?
It came out last March, and then it'll be out in paperback this year. So I'll be around. I'm still writing, still doing stuff, but, you know, I came home the other day and was expecting to go out and work in the yard, and I got 8 inches of snow, so I got to wait till this passes.
That's what you get for living in Vermont.
Yeah, that's true, but it keeps the riffraff away.
It keeps the bad people out. So how does a Southern California guy end up in Vermont?
I went to Montreal and came up there, and I really, I like L.A. and the beaches and stuff, but I don't like the freeways, and, you know, the quality of life's pretty good up here.
Now, what do you think about Pete Rose? I know we've talked about this in past interviews, but for people who are listening to us, talking to the spaceman for the first time, what are we going to do about Pete Rose? We want him to manage the Reds. We want him to have his own wing in Cooperstown, but some people don't feel the same way. What do you think, Bill?
Well, there's a lot of guys that in Cooperstown that are a lot worse than him. You got Ty Cobb. You got Camp Anson. You got Comiskey. You got a lot of people that were detrimental to the game and hurt a lot of people, Pete Rose gambled. Yes, he did. I don't think he ever bet against his ball club. I think he was a proactive guy. He always wanted his team to win. He'd run through, hell in a suit of gasoline just to play baseball. He's not a nice guy, He treated a lot of people pretty poorly in some respects. He's kind of brash and everything else, but I'll guarantee you, you'd sure want him playing for your ball club.
That's right. They didn't call him Charlie Hustle because he was slow.
No, he was an amazing character. He ran over a lot of people and stuff. And, I hated him. I liked to play against him. But you got to give him his due. He's best two-strike hitter I ever faced.
So back in the days, now when you turn on a game, you'll see the players before the game hugging and kissing and almost making out at second base. And then they go to their respective dugouts and they play the game. Did you guys, in the day before you moved around so much due to free agency, were there legitimate rivalries? Because you think of the Yankees and the Red Sox hate each other, then how in the hell is Johnny Damon now wearing pinstripes if he ever hated the Yankees? My guess is the whole thing was a fraud and a charade in that maybe you hated the Yankees, but did the 2005-2004 Red Sox hate the Yankees?
No, they fought them. I think Veritek definitely hates them, and he kept thing going and kind of it stirred it up pretty good. And then you had that third baseman for the Yankees that wears the dress that ended up slapping the ball out of Arroyo's hand.
Rodriguez?
Yeah, Rodriguez. So, there's a lot of guys you really hate in the Yankee uniform. Damon made an extra $15 million going to the Yankees. So it's all about Steinbrenner paying that bucks. That's a sad state of affairs. But in the old days, you never saw guys hanging around the dugout sharing spit the way they are now. So, Cincinnati hated Pittsburgh.
We used to hate the Dodgers. When I was a kid, back in the 70s, when you were playing for the Red Sox, and we hated you guys too. Don't think we didn't. Mm-hmm. But we really hated the Dodgers more than everybody else because the Dodgers had that really good team with Tommy Lasorda and Steve Garvey and Ron Say and the rest of them.
Yeah.
And they'd roll into Cincinnati, and they'd be the only other team in the National League that was as tough as the Big Red Machine. And they were the rivalry. They were the ones we hated in the 70s. And now they play 3 games a year.
Yeah. Well, that's that damn specialization and stuff. And, everything's expanded in interleague play, and they're trying to do a whole damn hell of a lot. And
I don't even like interleague play, except for the World Series, which is the only time it's appropriate, maybe a little bit in spring training. I didn't even get into that with you yet. What do you think of all that interleague garbage?
Well, a lot of teams like to see other teams play, and it's good as far as up here because you got Toronto and you got a lot of the Eastern teams playing and stuff, and it's kind of nice for teams up north because no one goes to their games anyway. But I'll tell you something, you're right. In the old days, it was definitely just the National League, play the National League, and you waited around to see who was going to represent in the American League. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. School's still out, but like you say, you don't get that rival with the Dodgers. You only get 3 games. That's terrible.
And we haven't really built up these new rivalries with the realignment. I mean, I know that we're supposed to be rivalries now with Chicago and St. Louis. And St. Louis is tough. And Chicago's got their moments, but it ain't the same as the old days when Tommy Hume was coming. Or what was the name of that pitcher back in the 70s? That was the Dodgers pitcher that we always hated.
Messersmith?
It was him. It was another guy.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Schmidt was pretty tough.
They had a reliever who could pitch. Mike Marshall.
They had a guy that was like threw like what do you call it? Down the side.
He threw the screwball.
The screwball. Yeah. What was his name?
Huff.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. I saw him
Charlie
pitch
Huff?
Once. Yeah, I saw him pitch once, and he was tough for a while.
He's a knuckleballer. Huff was a knuckleballer. You guarantee it was Marshall threw the screwball all the time. Pitched about 107 ball games. He's a nasty guy from Michigan State. Actually, he's, you know.
And he's one of these guys that wants to go around helping the young players because they say that he says that he wasn't a freak and you can pitch 107 times a year if you condition yourself properly. He knows the way to do it, and he's trying to, I don't know, trying to pitch his
He was a freak, boys. Anyway, I got to go to bed. You guys keep me up too late.
Hey, you're the best, Bill Lee, the spaceman. Here's my last question. What do you think of Warren Zevon?
I think he died a very tough death. You know, I love the guy and stuff, but he died the same death that Ken Brett died and Doug McGraw. So,
well, we did last time we interviewed you. I didn't have this record, but
hey, and I'm going so and it's pledge time here at WAIF, and we want your pledges. We want you to contribute to keeping public radio alive and broadcasting.
That was an interview that Rob and I did with Bill Lee last week. Rob couldn't make it down last tonight because he's doing community service. Hopefully by next week he'll get that thing off of his ankle and he can start wearing regular shoes again, like I do, because I've been calling him Right Foot Johnny for the last couple of weeks. WAIF, it's 21 minutes until midnight, and that was Bill Lee, the spaceman, former Boston Red Sox, Montreal Expo, and current left-hander living in Vermont.